WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Monday. Welcome into a new day and a new week here on the program. Hope yours is starting off well. Hope that you had a great weekend. We ended up having some nice weather, right? And if you went down to the feast, well, maybe you saw me because I was there all 4 days, or at least parts of all 4 days. So my first feast experience turned into my first feast weekend. But I enjoyed getting down there and seeing it. And really, like, it wasn't overly packed until Sunday. So on Thursday, I would say, you know, the crowd was pretty light. I'm going to guess that had to do with the weather. It wasn't really great weather then. Then on Friday, I was there until the headlining act was over. And even then, it wasn't too packed. Saturday, I left probably like around 6:30, 7 o'clock. So I'm sure it got busier after that. And then yesterday, I got there at 5, just before 5, and stayed until about 7, and it was wall-to-wall people. But not so much that you couldn't move around, but it was definitely the busiest that I'd seen it. And I also got to see the parade for the first time. That was really fun. And really, just a great weekend overall. I did all the things. I tried all the foods. I shouldn't say did all the things. I wasn't going on a Ferris wheel or anything, but I tried to pack in as much as I could. And now, next weekend, I will not leave the house because that's a lot of peopling for me. Actually, this Friday, we have our... There's no tickets left, none available. It's sold out. But we have our Mrs. Roper romp at the Plymouth Bay Winery that I came up with the idea for, so I have to go and, like, MC it. But I was trying to help them come up with ideas of things they could do, and I suggested that, and they had a huge response. They're like, well, now you've got to come and kind of MC it. And I was like, okay. But then I'll just stay in the house all weekend. So I hope you had a good weekend. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in with your thoughts on the feast or anything else that went on this weekend. We had some interesting things happen in the city of New Bedford over the last week or so. We're going to have New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo in to discuss all of that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as he joins us each week. And as we get closer to election time, by the way, we've had this discussion in the past with Council President Morad and others when there's been an election year of, you know, at some point, do you stop having them come on because it gets close to the election time and you have to give equal time? Well, there's some differences in that. There's a difference between when an elected official who's an incumbent comes on to talk about things going on in the city and when they are coming on and campaigning. And if they come on to campaign, you know, like if Council President Burgo is coming in to talk about what went on in the meetings that week and, you know, the different business of the city, that's fine. And if he says something like, well, that's why I need to be reelected because, well, then that becomes campaigning. And then that becomes, you know, we need to offer equal time to any of the opponents in the at-large race. But I will, of course, leave it up to the council president to see what he's comfortable with as we get closer to it. I trust he can navigate that and not, you know, it's the same thing with the mayor, except the mayor chooses not to come on when it gets closer to election time. He makes that decision himself. So just a little background on how that all works in case people are, because now that there's more and more candidates starting to come out, people might be wondering how that's going to shake out. But I think also the important thing is to keep talking about that business of the city as we get closer to the election time, because people that are listening will be more likely to get out and vote for whoever they want to vote for. And if you're a Shane Burgo opponent, if you are somebody who is not going to be a voter for him, you might say, yeah, let him come on closer to the election. The more he talks, the more people aren't going to want to vote for him. I don't see that, but I know that some of you kind of feel that way. Certainly, Chris McCarthy likes the conversations that he has, because then he's able to bring those up and talk about them on his program. So you might have missed this story over the weekend. I thought this was shocking to me. So Friday, I was at the feast, and I was helping Fun 107 with their broadcast, and I was getting emails on my phone from the Bristol County DA's office, because apparently they wait until 4 o'clock on Friday to put out press releases about everything that happened over the course of the week. But we also got one about a tragedy that happened. And usually deaths are handled by the Bristol County District Attorney's Office. They're the ones that announce things like a death at sea, which is what happened on July 29th. So, you know, days after it happened, but it didn't become public information until Friday. There was a New Jersey man who was diving off of George's Bank. And what he does is he salvages and documents shipwrecks. And he's a lawyer from New Jersey, or I should say was a lawyer from New Jersey, who owned a company that would go and explore these shipwrecks and study them, but also try to recover materials from them. And he was exploring a wreck off George's Bank when he suffered a medical emergency. And apparently that medical emergency, when they got him up to the surface, they were unable to revive him, and he passed away. His name was Joseph Masrani. He was 48 years old. And he was apparently, in addition to being a criminal defense attorney in New Jersey, a very celebrated shipwreck diver. He had the vessel Tenacious, and the company was called Atlantic Wreck Salvage. And they've explored numerous shipwrecks in the waters off New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, the most celebrated of which was U-550, the last German U-boat known to rest in divable North Atlantic waters. And he's been written about in books. He's been featured in different productions. And so in that community, he's a very well-known and well-respected figure. And now he passed away on a dive. And his partner, Jennifer Saletti, said, you know, nobody wants to die doing what they love, but he understands the risk. He understood the risk involved in what it is that they do. And every diver knows that there's that possibility when they go down there. And she wrote a very long and touching tribute to him on Facebook. And as she said there on the DV Tenacious Facebook page, and as she said there, you know, I can't sum it all up in one post. I'm not going to try to, but she did address those who say that such dives are not worth the risk. She said, if viewed in isolation, perhaps it isn't, but this wasn't just a dive. It was our way of life. Joe understood better than anyone that life offers no guarantees. He lived every moment fully without compromise. He did not want to die doing what he loved. None of us do. He wanted to survive it, to grow old doing it. But when you live at the edge, sometimes the edge pushes back. So you can read more about Joseph Masrani and the incident that happened at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But they hauled the Tenacious into New Bedford Harbor. And so this is under the jurisdiction of the Bristol County District Attorney's Office, who said that no foul play is suspected. They believe it was a medical emergency. Jennifer Saletti said that there was no sign of diver or equipment failure, and that she, too, says that it was a medical emergency. So, again, it's the risks that comes with something like that. But you can, again, read more about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. So I've never done scuba diving. I've often said that I wanted to, but I'm not a big fan of the ocean. So I've gone out on glass bottom boats. I like that. That's probably about all I need to see under the sea. But I know plenty of people that do it, that love being in that world. They say it brings a calm and a peace. And that's just people who are just diving to look at fish and aquatic life. You know, Joseph Masrani was an explorer. And now that's something I would love to do, explore shipwrecks, but I wouldn't want to have to go down there to do it. I'll be on the team that works up on the ship. But it is an inherently dangerous thing, especially when you consider all the things that can go wrong. And it seems like they did all that they could to avoid those situations. And yet, you know, you have this medical situation, which could have been, you know, anything like a stroke or a heart attack, an aneurysm, things like that. But the Masrani's body was taken by the state medical examiner's office, and they'll make an exact determination as to what happened. But again, no foul play suspected, no diver or equipment failure suspected, just one of those situations where you have a medical emergency in the total wrong place. Also today is August 4th, which is the anniversary of the Borden murders. Lizzie Borden took an axe, you know, that happened on August 4th, 1892. Whether you think Lizzie did it or not, we can take those phone calls. But I bring this up, too, not only because it's the anniversary, and I know it's a thing that a lot of people around these parts care about, but also we know that the Lizzie Borden house has a history of being haunted, and we had the news break the other day that comedian Matt Rife was buying a paranormal property. And they teased it pretty well because I don't know if you're aware, but they've been after the Conjuring House for a long time and the owner won't sell. And she's having her mental issues and legal issues and all of that. And so they filmed the video where they kind of teased, hey, we're going to make this announcement. And it was in the woods and it looked like it could have been in the woods around the Conjuring House. And people were like, oh, they finally got it. You know, but, turns out that's not the case. It's not the Conjuring House. They bought the Warren's house in Monroe, Connecticut, that also had their museum. And I don't understand what is going on with this, but apparently the artifacts are still owned by the son-in-law and the daughter of the Warrens. But Matt Rife and Elton Castile bought the home and they bought the museum. So they're going to be exhibiting the items. It's all kind of complicated, but it's also I don't know, like, it's great that they want to open up this place for investigation, that people want to go and check out, but at the same time it's in a residential neighborhood. Like, there's people have long wanted people to stop going to that house because it just causes problems for the neighborhood. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like the whole Warrens thing has been sensationalized and overblown. And I can't help but feel this is like some kind of gimmicky thing. And that's no offense to Matt Rife, who seems to have a genuine interest in the paranormal. Just the whole situation feels kind of icky to me. But anyway, we can talk about that and whatever else is on your mind. Right now, I've got to get my first break in. Let me do that. We'll be back with the news and then more with you on the other side.
An earthquake shakes parts of the Northeast. A major canyon fire burns on in Utah. And the 3 billionth iPhone has been shipped.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A small earthquake rattled the northern New Jersey and New York City area over the weekend.
According to the U.S. Geological Survey, a 3.0 magnitude tremor struck northern New Jersey's Hasbrook Heights Saturday night. Although it was a minor quake, some area residents reported shaking all across the region. There are no reports of injuries or damage. The USGS is telling residents to be aware of possible minor aftershocks in the days to come. Jonathan O'Halloran, New York.
Boston Marathon bomber Zohar Tsarnaev has lost his bid to remove the judge that is overseeing the challenge to his death sentence. A federal appeals court has rejected claims that U.S. District Court Judge George O'Toole has shown that he's not impartial through comments he's made in podcasts and at public events. Tsarnaev is challenging his conviction, claiming two jurors lied during questioning during the trial. He was convicted of all charges related to the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing and is sentenced to death. A major wildfire still raging in central Utah after nearly 3 weeks. Officials say the Monroe Canyon fire started on July 13th and has grown to more than 57,000 acres. Crews on the ground and tanker aircraft have helped slow the spread, but the blaze is less than 5% contained. Local evacuation orders were lifted on Friday, although the state of emergency declared by the Utah governor remains in effect. Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers blasting President Trump's decision to fire the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics following the latest jobs report. In an interview with ABC's This Week, Summers said the president's decision raises major concerns.
This is the stuff of democracies giving way to authoritarianism.
The report released on Friday said the U.S. economy added just 73,000 jobs last month, well below estimates. It also revised the May and June numbers downward by more than 200,000 jobs combined. Apple says it's shipped its 3 billionth iPhone.
CEO Tim Cook made the announcement in an earnings call. Sales of iPhones have been on an upward trend since Apple introduced the first portable device in 2007. By 2016, it had sold 1 billion of them, and by 2021, it had sold 2 billion iPhones. It took only 4 more years for the company to sell 3 billion. I'm Michael Kastner.
NASA's SpaceX Crew 11 has docked at the International Space Station. SpaceX posted a video on social media showing the spacecraft docking Saturday at the ISS at 2:27 a.m. Eastern Time. The team of 4 astronauts will be starting a 6-month mission. They lifted off Friday morning from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. A theme park made famous by its A-list celebrity co-founder has hit the top spot on TripAdvisor's 2025 Traveler's Choice Best of the Best Awards.
Dollywood, the park co-founded by country music icon Dolly Parton, placed highest in the Best Amusement Park category. Dollywood beat out Disney World's Magic Kingdom, Disneyland, and Universal Studios on the 2025 list. TripAdvisor says the ranking is decided by above and beyond reviews and opinions from the TripAdvisor community over a 12-month period. I'm Rob Martier.
Columbia Sportswear taking Columbia University to court over use of the Columbia name on university merchandise. A federal lawsuit filed by the clothing maker accuses Columbia University of violating an agreement signed 2 years ago. It said that in order to avoid consumer confusion, the school would not use just its name on merchandise without the word university or other school-related image. Columbia Sportswear claims to have spotted several offending items at the university's online store. The company is asking the court to stop all sales of clothing that violates the agreement, as well as monetary damages.
WBSM Sports.
In sports, Red Sox beat Houston yesterday 6-1. The Kansas City Royals come to Fenway tonight at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We're looking at a lot of sunshine today. It's going to be hazy and warm with a high near 85. For tonight, skies will be clear and your low will be near 64. Meanwhile, Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high once again well into the 80s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Morning hootie for you. You can read into that what you will, but I mean, it's not an owl joke, but I've woken up many mornings to owls still hooting outside. Anyway, there's some big news in the WNBA world and really in the basketball world overall, because we talked about this a little bit before that there was interest in moving the Connecticut Sun out of Mohegan Sun and perhaps to Providence, perhaps to Boston. And it looks like now they are going to be moved to Boston. Now, it's pending the approval of the league's board of governors, who are the ones that can approve a relocation. But a group led by Celtics minority owner Steve Pagliuca has reached a deal to buy the Connecticut Sun for a record $325 million and move the team to Boston. That wouldn't happen, of course. They wouldn't play in Boston until the 2027 season. And then Pagliuca would also contribute $100 million for a new practice facility in Boston for the team. So they would play at TD Garden, but he would build a brand new practice facility for the Sun. And then they, I would assume maybe they'd have a name change. I don't know. They usually don't change names when they move cities, but they could. But again, you could have a WNBA team in Boston as the league is becoming more and more popular. Of course, the arrival of Caitlin Clark and others has brought new attention onto the WNBA, but it seems like it's finally turning a corner in terms of interest. Whether or not that's going to mean that they can, you know, fill up enough seats in TD Garden remains to be seen. I think they're betting that by 2027, that would be the case. The other part of it, too, is Steve Pagliuca was part of he's part of the Celtics ownership, and he wanted to buy the team when the Grousebecks decided they were going to sell their interest, and I guess he was rebuffed. So this is his chance to still own a professional basketball team in Boston. Now, if whether or not, you know, you might say, well, $325 million, that's right around the same amount of money that that ownership group paid for the Celtics when they bought it back in, 2002? And yeah, it is. It is right around that same amount. Why would you think that an WNBA franchise would be worth as much as the most storied franchise in NBA history, you know, granted 20-something years ago? Well, because of the revenue that comes in. And the league, the last team that was sold in the league was 2021, and that team sold for, I think, $10 million. So that just shows you infinitely how much you know, the value of these teams has gone up. A lot of things have come into play since then, but it's still also a lot of money to pay for a team that doesn't include an arena, and you have to still rent out somebody else's arena. But maybe there's a plan for the new Celtics ownership to build an arena, and maybe they work out some kind of a deal for the Sun to play in that facility. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. I haven't been to the feast in decades, and I mean since my daughter was really small. And my son-in-law is up here from Connecticut. He's in the Navy, and he's going to Guam actually the 9th of this month, and he wanted to go to the feast on Saturday, and I happen to have the day off. So he said, oh, please, Mom, come with me. You have to come. I want you to be with me. So I said, you know, it's really important that I see him again for another time, because we saw them in Connecticut. My boyfriend and I drove down, and we spent a day with them, my daughter and him as well. Well, he came up, and it was a gorgeous day, as you know. The whole weekend was nice, and it wasn't as crowded, but we went earlier. We went, like, from 12 to 4:30, quarter of 5, because I had to go to work the next day open, and so I wanted to be in bed early. And it was a blast. I had a great time. Boy, they give a new meaning to climbing the walls with that spaceship ride that you said you went on. We went on it, too. And, oh, my God, I made the mistake of closing my eyes at one point, and I felt nauseous. I said, no, I got to keep my eyes open because that, I guess that's what happens when you close your eyes. But we went on all the rides. I even wanted to go on the kiddie rides, but they wouldn't let us. I said, well, come on. I'm a kid at heart. I want to go on them. I'm the type of person where when I go somewhere, I like to try it all. And the Ferris wheel, that I wish it was 10 feet high. I mean, 10 times higher than it was, actually. We went like 3 or 4 times on that. Even this woman, she was like, she could barely walk, and she was probably in her 80s. And she actually, I guess it was her daughter that helped her up into it. She actually went on it. I was like, wow. That is really amazing. I've never seen anything like that in my life with much older people going on rides.
And could you see anything from up there, or was it still not high enough to clear the buildings?
Oh, it cleared the buildings. It was great. You could see above the rooftops. I loved looking out at the river there. You could see the water. You could see across the way. You could even see the wind turbines. And when we first got there and we went on it, they weren't working. They were, you know, they just weren't going. But then afterwards they started working, and it was really, I was like, wow, I wonder what happened that they automatically are on now. But you could see a lot of things. It was great. Me, I love heights. I've been on ski lifts that were really, they say they're not that high up. The Wachusett Mountain one is really high up. And the cars down below look like little dots almost. And you feel like you're suspended in the air. And I mean, it could have been even higher than that. And I would live. And the atmosphere changes when you're up there. It's much colder. So that's how high up they actually are. And I went on that ride twice because I have, well, it's not a ride, but it's ski lift, because I absolutely love it. Don't get me under the water. I love being in the water, swimming. I like boating and all. But for some reason, underneath the water, I'm claustrophobic, so I don't like being under anything or in tight spaces.
Sure.
Or even with a lot of people, actually, if it gets too crowded, I don't like that. But you are so right. That Nottish, oh my God. I love Nottish, and I have had many, many Nottishes before. But this one was to a whole new level. They ran out of the regular ones. They were cooking them, but we both bought the two. Well, he paid for everything for me. He just wanted me to have a good time. And we bought the chocolate ones. And I thought there was just chocolate chips on the top of the, you know, the nice golden custard. I didn't realize that underneath there was a thin layer of chocolate at the bottom. And when he said, I'm going to have mine a little bit later, because it was when we were on our way out, because you're right, they were right there as you enter in. So we had eaten other food and you know, drank and things. And then so as we were leaving to walk to the car is when we bought some to try. Well, when I bit into mine, it was piping hot. I have never in my life had a Nottish that was hot like that. Oh, my God. And we had the confectionery sugar on it. It was out of this world delicious. Oh, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. It was so good. You were right. It's the best I've had by far anywhere at any time.
My friend bought four. I got my friend four, and I said, you know, you know, eat these when you get home, two for you and two for your daughter. And so her daughter got one because she ended up eating three of them because they were so good.
Oh, my God. It was so good. And just everything was nice. The people were nice. I thought I'd see more people that I would know. But I only ran into somebody that I've known for years and years and years. And I went into the – I've never gone – all the times I've gone years ago, my daughter was small. I've never gone into the museum. I went into it. It was free and – it was open, and it was really nice, and somebody was giving this couple a tour. And I love history, so I kind of tagged – well, we tagged along with them, and I asked them millions of questions because I'm always curious about everything. But it was really fun. We had such a good time, and the food was the food was delicious. It was really interesting to watch the people, you know, at the pit section, you know, actually grilling their steak and putting, like you said, like some people actually put half – sliced peppers and half sliced onions on it. I mean, the whole thing, not just pieces. I've never seen that before. I thought that was really interesting. And pouring from their cups, either beer or the Madeira wine, which the Madeira wine, oh my goodness, I love the aftertaste. You know, when you've taken a couple sips of it. Oh, I love that aftertaste. It's just really wonderful, the bouquet. And I had the Carno Spit, but I had it already made up in a Portuguese pot, which my son-in-law had the casserole, and he had it on a bola, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And he said it had like a butter on the inside with the, like, garlic, I guess. He says it was absolutely delicious and light and fluffy. And I love the codfish cakes as well, so we split some of those. And it was just fun. We walked around. There was a lot of entertainment here at different, you know, stations. They had different things, and it was nice. It was just a really nice time. I was very pleasantly surprised because my mentality was after a while, like, you know, you go to the feast, like, how much of that can you do? Like, it's the same old all the time. Sort of like downtown 50s night. You know, you go a couple times and it's like, it's the same old in a way. That's how I feel about things. Like, I like to try new things and different things. But actually, since I hadn't been in so long, it was really quite a good experience.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I got to hold you there because I got a break I got to take, but I'm glad they had a great time.
I did. Well, you have a great day now.
You too. And we can take some more calls coming up, but I got to get this break in. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. Hey, this summer, celebrate with Cask and Pig Kitchen and Alehouse. From bourbon tenderloin tips and smoked brisket to creamy mac and cheese and their famous wings with maple buffalo sauce. Oh, that sauce is amazing. Their party platters are built to impress. Hosting an event, Cask and Pig offers off-site catering and private events right at Cask. Call and speak with the catering manager, Elaine. She'll make planning easy. And don't forget to join Cask and Pig Friday and Saturday nights for live music on the patio from 7 to 10 p.m. Cask and Pig in Dartmouth, where great food brings people together. And we were talking about the feast, and Laura mentioned the Gravitron, which I wrote about on Friday because I was so excited to find one again, and I wanted other people that wanted to experience one to know that there was one at the feast. When I went on it Thursday night, the guy that was operating it, he was like, oh, I'm a little bit dizzy myself. And I said, oh, does it spin for you too? And he's like, yeah. He's like, it's not stationary in the middle. So when you're spinning, I'm spinning. And actually, when I went to go back on it Saturday with my friend, we were the first people in line. And then the guy that was outside checking the tickets was like, yeah, we're going to have to give it a break because the operator needs a rest. He's just a little bit too dizzy. He needs a little time off. So come back in about 10 minutes. I was like, wow, that's pretty intense. And then when we went on that one, mine slid up and hers did not. So, like, she's way down the bottom and I'm way up at the top and I'm trying to pull her up. But her panel wouldn't slide up. So I was like, well, we kind of rode it together. Just I was way up there and you were way down there. So, all right, I got to take one more break here before the end of the hour. We will be right back.